light scoot up a little bit?
She's gonna be right behind you. You're good.
You guys scoot up. I need, come on up here, Kai. You come over here so we can see you. Scoot up. Good. There we go. We can see you close.
Everybody say good morning on the count of three. 1, 2, 3.
Good morning!
Good morning!
All right.
Here we go. The B-I-B-L-E. Ready?
Oh, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand up one word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Bible! God.
I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. We, as always, we're thankful to be in the Lord's house. And we appreciate the great group of kids we got up here. And Lord gave us thought when we were sitting there. And this is part of the reason we come to church. The Lord's going to call these kids someday. And we need to be here living for the Lord and being an example to them. And me and my wife have did the best we could raising our kids, but this church and you people have been a great part of that. And we need to be here for our own family. We need to be here for these kids. And I appreciate that thought, and I appreciate that burden. You know, there may be a few of them that's saved over there, but there's a lot of them that ain't, and the Lord's going to call them someday. And we just appreciate that thought this morning. Let's pray for, we got a lot of people gone this morning. Let's pray for them wherever they're at. There's a homecoming or two, but let's pray for our service here this morning. And I'm going to ask Brother Bo, you just missed Sunday school.
Wait till everybody leaves.
Good
think everybody probably knows, but the lesson will be in Titus 1. And a good way to remember where Titus is there's three T's in the Bible. Thessalonians, Timothy, and Titus, and they're all together. Titus is the last one. So you just pray for me that maybe we learn something or say something and fill the Spirit. I mean, anything, we do anything in the Lord, we'd want to do it in a sense where we give God the glory. And it's a little bit different than preaching because I get a little bit of, I feel like I get a little bit more leeway to maybe dive outside of, you know, to maybe say some history stuff and different things. So it's a nice change. So let's remember those. I'm not sure exactly why Jay couldn't be here. Carl's not feeling well, and Blaine's up in at the Larry's church at Lakeside. So let's remember them. So we'll just go ahead. I'd like to read through the lesson. We'll read through the whole lesson. Titus 1, 1 through 3, and then Titus 2, 11 through 15. So we'll read there. And if anybody has any comments as we go, I'd love for you to, as we go through it, which we'll break it down after we read through it. So Titus 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due time manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God, our Savior. So over to Titus 2 and 11 says, for the grace of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquities, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. And so that's the lesson for today. And you just, we'll just kind of bring it down one section at a time. So we have Paul is writing this letter. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So that's important. You know, when we read God, he associated God and Jesus Christ together. Because, how come? Because we know that a lot of people will believe in God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. And so it's very important for Paul to actually, you know, say the fact that that it's not only God, but it's Jesus Christ. All the Jews didn't want to believe in Jesus Christ. They didn't like what he did. I'm sure some of them did. I'm sure Nicodemus did. But I'm just saying, in general, the Jews didn't believe in Jesus Christ as a group. And so, and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. So, you know, the truth, which we know that Jesus said, I am the truth, I am the way, I'm the life. But we go through and, you know, we can go back all the way to the beginning. So we can find. So, I mean, I like scriptures. I mean, I like a lesson like this because I can go throughout the whole Bible and, you know, find different spots. So what is the truth? So we find that in the garden, we find that, you know, God spoke to man. You know, he speaks with man, with Adam right off the bat. And so with Adam, he's speaking to him directly. You know, then we go to Abraham and he speaks to him directly. And the wonderful thing about it is, he speaks to me and you directly. You know, I mean, the Lord spoke to me in my heart. Now, I don't know. I mean, you know, I don't know. The Bible says no man has seen God and we can't see God. The only kind of reference that we have to somebody getting close to that is Moses seeing the tail end of God. And, you know, and when Moses came down from the mountain, you know, he shone. I mean, he had a veil on his face. and his brightness was bright, and, you know, so he just covered his face. That's how, I mean, like, it's probably like touching the Ark of the Covenant. So if you touch the Ark of the Covenant and you weren't a priest, you're going to die. You're going to be, you would die. There's even an account of a guy dying in the Bible where he touched it just because he thought it was the right thing to do because he didn't want it to fall, but he wasn't allowed to touch it. Only the priests were, or the Levites. And, he touched it, he died. If we see God, if we saw God, this flesh would die. I mean, it's not capable. And so these are the truths. So a lot of these truths, okay, so according to God's elect, according to the knowledge of truth and godliness. So a lot of religions will take partly of the truth. If we go to the Jewish religion, they believe in Abraham. They believe that God talked to Abraham. The first five books of the Bible, the Torah, they call it, is written by Moses. They believe exactly what, it's, as far as I know, it's exactly what we have in our Bible, the first five books in the Bible. But they don't believe in, that Jesus was the Son of God. I mean, and they, they partially believe. So there's partial truths. But this is the truth which is after godliness. Now, Muslims believe that Jesus was a good man. They believe that, and I had a hard time thinking that they believe this, but they believe that, I mean, it says it, so whether it's true or not, they believe that he was born of a virgin. And, I didn't really know that, but I just found out here recently. And so I think that's pretty interesting, that a group of people would think that a man that is born of a virgin, I mean, how many times does this happen? I mean, far as I know, I mean, this is it. This is the only one. And so, that's interesting that a group of people would believe that this man is just a prophet and not something more than the Son of God himself. Where did he come from? Then, I mean, born of a virgin, he's God's son. He's God's son. I mean, where else could he be? I mean, if he wasn't, born, if he was, didn't have a natural father. He had God as his father. And so there's a lot of doctrine out there, but when you start bringing it all together, I like things that make sense. Our religion, besides being saved and besides, the Lord speaking to my heart, so that supersedes everything as far as I'm concerned, and I'll get into some other stuff, but if I didn't know anything, I know the Lord talked to me. I know he spoke to my heart. I know that the Lord, came by my way and showed me I was lost and undone one time when, I didn't know. I mean, everybody's taught that God is, I mean, far as in our church or far as in general, a lot of people are taught that there's a God, that you may go even a little bit further and be taught that Jesus was the Son of God. But how do we know? How do we know? Well, you don't know. You don't know until the Lord speaks to your heart and shows you that he's real. I mean, I believed in here, but when the Lord spoke to me and I was over at Lafayette Church, whoa, that was different. Now something's really taken place that I can, put a stamp on it or say this is the truth, before I was fine, and now I'm not fine. Something happened. There was a change. I was lost. So it's nice to know all this information, but you don't have to know all this information. You have to know that you need born again and saved. So these are all the truths and the godliness and the hope and eternal life that he's talking about, which God cannot lie and promise. Before the world began. Now, promise before the world began, as far as I know, we don't have any documentation before the world began. I mean, we got documentation when the world began, but everything points towards us being here. God making this creation, God setting this up that Jesus would come. Everything, and Paul says it in another place, before the world began, but this is God's mindset. Before this, I don't know. I mean, we just know what is before us. You know, from the foundation of the world, this was God's plan. So, you know, nothing in the Garden of Eden came, you know, was a shock to the Lord. Now, it was a shock to mankind, and it's a shock to us when the Lord comes our way. You know, when Adam was found, you know, I'll just say guilty, ate of the tree of the fruit of knowledge, boy, it opened his eyes that day. And likewise, our eyes are open. Like I said earlier, our eyes are open when the Lord shows us the truth. And so, and then we're in the same boat. Unless we take hold of the tree of life, we're not getting back into heaven. And, you know, I think if you read in Genesis, it's interesting. Those trees are right next to each other or near. I mean, they're in the same garden. Could you see them at the same spot? I don't know. I mean, it'd be speculation. But it says they're both in the midst of the garden. So they're together somewhat. And so which is a representation of it's the same here. When the Lord shows you that you're lost, he also shows you you can get saved if you want to. You know, if you desire to. So we have that, you know, the Lord, I really think everybody that the Lord shows that is lost could get saved immediately. I mean, if you go through the right, because, I mean, he doesn't want us to stay lost. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. These are all the things that the Lord has, you know, set up. So if we believe immediately when the Lord shows us that we're lost, then we can be saved. We can be saved. And we have a ritual coming up here and praying. And yeah, I felt like, you know, that's what the Lord wanted me to do. You know, when I would come up here and pray and just say, Lord, forgive me, save me, whatever I need to say. I don't remember all the details of what I said. You know, those kind of fade away in time, but I know I got saved, you know, and I still feel the Lord's presence. But, you know, there's a time, you know, that 3,000 people got saved at one time, or at the same, you know, at least revival, let's put it. Did they all come up to the altar? It's in your heart, trusting and believing. We have an Ethiopian man that, you know, he just, I believe, what prevents me from being baptized? And so those things, you know, when you believe with all your heart, you know, that the Lord, you know, that you believe in God, that Jesus Christ died for us. You know, I don't know if you even have to believe. I didn't understand everything, but I wanted what God wanted to give me. And you know, when I prayed and said, Lord, you know, help me, save me, he saved me. And then you learn some stuff along the way. But our religion, I mean, to me, it makes sense. I mean, it all makes sense. You know, when Abraham took Isaac up to, it's probably, I mean, they say it's the same place as Golgotha. I forget what they called it back then in the Old Testament. You know, took, you know, Isaac up there and was going to sacrifice him. Well, that pointed, you know, when I see that, I think, why don't they look at that and say, well, you know, God was going to send his son to be sacrificed. And they believe that the Messiah is going to come eventually, but they have a hard time with Jesus being that one, you know. And so, but what more can a man do? What even the Son of God? If we look at everything that in Jesus' life from the beginning to the end, I mean, I couldn't say that. I mean, that is the Son of God. I mean, you have God speaking out of heaven. God speaking out of heaven, saying, this is my beloved son, who I'm well pleased. Well, I mean, you know, we hear, you know, rumors of what people have done and different things, you know, and, you know, don't even have to have the direct contact with that event. But Jesus made his rounds around that whole area. So, And the Lord spoke again when some people was there and spoke again about his son. So there's at least two times that I remember that the Lord spoke, God spoke, and people heard God's voice. You know, so we have that account. I mean, and we have multiple, Jesus healing people, You know, Jesus talking as a child with the multiple people in the temple. Jesus teaching the Word of God. You know, and so, and we also have that Joseph, you know, a good example. This is Jacob's son, Joseph, that went down to Egypt, delivering his people. His brothers hated him, you know, because he wore the coat of many colors. And, you know, Jesus wore the spiritual, I mean, like the coat of many colors of, you know, just because he didn't fit their standard. The Jews don't even believe that he was born. They believe that he was born in Galilee, but he was born in Bethlehem. So how could you even, you know, it was, you know, by chance that he was down there and God put it in the Bible, you know, and it said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So all these things point towards this is the Son of God. This is the Son of God. No doubt, which is it's hope and eternal life, you know, which cannot lie. God cannot lie. So when he puts all his promises, you know, that you're born again forever, you know, it's a gift of God. That's why a lot of people don't like what we say sometimes is because, you know, we say once you're saved forever. You know, that's a free gift of God. Now, do you want to enjoy your salvation? That's up to you. And so we have that. And it's from before the world began, it says. So at this time, anybody have a thought or something on your heart you want to share? If not, we'll keep on going. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of our God, our Savior. And so what we all know that this is Apostle Paul has in due times manifested his word through preaching. So before Jesus, I mean, the preached gospel, you know, I believe that, like, the prophets, there was prophets back in the day, and they would tell them. But I think for the most part, as far as I can tell, the Jewish people, they believed in God. They believed what Abraham, you know, what Abraham did, what Moses did coming out. You know, the Bible says in one place where they all passed, you know, through the Red Sea. They all was under, you know, they followed the cloud, I think by day and maybe the fire by night. All these people believed, but, you know, you could see where in the Old Testament where a lot of them failed along the way, where they started worshiping a calf that, you know, they made with the, and different things. And so, and they murmured because they were hungry. And so we have to watch what we do also because we can find ourselves in the same spot. You know, one of the, they got tired of manna. This is one of the ones that I, you know, some people get tired of coming to the church of the house of God. You know, it just, they had manna every day. They didn't, you know, it may not have tasted just like they wanted, but, you know, God provided them with some food, you know, and it was nourishment for their body. And likewise, if we come to church on a regular basis and, you know, listen, you know, we may not get up on the mountain every time, and, you know, but occasionally we do. And I feel the Lord a lot of times when I come to church, you know, and that's a blessing to me. It's what I want. It's what it helps me. You know, this is the manna that this is the spiritual manna that we get today. Do we get tired? You know, sometimes you work all day and you say, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to, you know, go tonight or something like that because I'm tired. And I, you know, just, you know, but if we totally said, I'm tired of this manna and I'm just going to, that's what they did. And they were tired of it, you know. So we have to be careful that we don't get tired of God's word. It is life. It gives us hope. It gives us our children salvation. It gives us salvation. All these things that the Lord can do, it can give it to us if we are willing to take it. It's hard on the flesh sometimes. You know, I don't think anybody's going to disagree with that. I mean, it's just, I mean, you know, reading the Bible, you know, praying to the Lord, coming to church, that's probably the three basic things that we need to do. And probably I could, you know, do I do it enough? Probably not. You know, could we all say that? Probably so. So we all have room for improvement. But, you know, we all also, the Lord was here and he understands our situation and he knows if we're trying or if we're not trying. And so I think if we're giving it a good effort and, you know, I think maybe there's a potential that we may never be good enough in our minds, but we're giving it a good effort. I figure if I come to church and feel the Lord, I'm all right. You know, this body's never going to be perfect. My soul's perfect. I thank the Lord for saving my soul, and that's where it's at. And so you know, we thank the Lord for all what he did. Now, Paul was, we can see in Paul's life, you know, it said manifested through his preaching, which is committed unto me, which is committed to Paul, according to the commandment of our God, our Savior. So we have the record of Paul going to Damascus. Everybody probably, you know, remembers that story. He's going to Damascus to cause problems for the Christians that are believing in Jesus Christ. And, you know, along the way, God spoke to him. I think Paul was really like a lot of people, you know. Well, I mean, this is what I was taught. I was taught, you know, that this guy is going against our religion, basically. He's trying to, you know, pervert people into different thinking or to that effect. I think he thought he was doing all right, you know. But when the Lord spoke to his heart, it showed him that, you know, this is it, Paul. This is it. And it, you know, it didn't seem like Paul fought it. You know, he was like, when he heard from heaven, you know, and heard, you know, Jesus speak, and he was blinded, and he went to, I believe it was a road called Straight, and Ananias, maybe his name was, came and, you know, prayed over him, and he could see again. You know, he immediately started talking about Jesus and started preaching about Jesus. You know, I think he had a lot of knowledge, obviously. I mean, you know, you can read, he wrote, but it's kind of, you know, a touchy situation, either Matthew or Paul. Word for word, supposedly Matthew may have wrote more in the New Testament for word than Apostle Paul, if you just count words. But he wrote, you know, the majority of the New Testament. And so he knew a lot, and he knew all the Jewish things. And he even said in one scripture, you know, all that he had done. And all that he, you know, what he attained to, this is my family lineage, this is who I am, all these things. But he said, and I'm not even sure if that's the time he counted those things as nothing, and he counted Christ as the most important thing in his life, because he had a change. And likewise, you know, everyone in here is most likely saved and, you know, can say, Christ is the most important thing in my life. When he saved me, he made me a believer. I believe Apostle Paul, his life and his change is a wonderful change that we can, you know, look at and say, you know, we would, before that, we'd say, well, the Lord's never going to reach that man. That man's never going to change. You know, he's going around. He might as well say he almost killed Stephen. If he didn't, he was there and they took his coat and they put it to him. And so he was going around really hard pressing, you know, persecuting the people that believe in Jesus. And all of a sudden he's preaching Jesus. Wow. I mean, that's the kind of change the Lord can do for you. And what happened after that? They tried to start killing him. They wanted to kill Paul because he had to escape through night or at night, maybe even to try to get out away from the people, because they didn't like him anymore, because he wasn't going along with everybody else. So once you have that change in your life, you know, you're not going to have, you know, those things. You know, people aren't going to like it. I mean, if you're very vocal at all about your beliefs, you know, if we keep quiet, I mean, we kind of, and most of us probably do, we don't try to set too many waves. But, you know, if somebody asks me what I believe now, I'm going to tell them. But I don't go around unless the Lord gives me it on my heart. I mean, and so there's a time and a place for, you know, to share the gospel. And, you know, there's, so if I'm working, I don't try to, but there's times at work, I'll say, you know, we're driving in a car and I feel like telling somebody something. Well, that's a good time, you know. We got to, you know, while we're here, we got to spread God's word. And so, does anybody have a thought or a comment? Okay, so we'll jump over to Titus 2. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And so we can go back and we know that, you know, right from the beginning, all the way through, God has appeared to men all the way through and spoke to them and talked to them and let them know that what they needed. You know, right in the Garden of Eden, you got to take that tree of life right then. So, and I love that, you know, I think it was Andrew, Peter's brother, came to Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. You know, they've been always looking, and they've always, you know, been looking for the Messiah. They were looking, you know, ahead. You know, they believed, like when Abraham took Isaac, that was, I believe they believed that that was pointing to Christ. When Isaiah, and I'm not sure, maybe the fourth chapter, I'm not sure, you know, told a king, maybe Ahaz or something like that. He asked for a sign, or the, you know, Isaiah told, ask me for a sign. He said, I'm not going to ask for a sign. And he said, well, I'm going to give you one anyway. I'm going to give you, there's going to be a virgin that has a son, and his name's going to be Emmanuel, and he's going to, you know, he went down the line, and you know, and so we know, you know, that all these things were prophesied about Jesus, and they happened, and they happened, and I, you know, I will say, let me see if I can find, it's interesting, you know, so I mean, we have the Bible, and it mentions Jesus multiple times, so it is, there is information on Jesus other than the Bible. As far as I know, there's, and you know, maybe two spots as far as history. I mean, other than the Bible. I mean, the Bible 100%, you know, tells Jesus' whole life. Now, there is a historian, Tacitus, I think his name is, that was a Jewish historian that wrote about Jesus, that is a documented, they don't know exactly where he got his information for, was maybe, I'll say, it was before 100 AD. I'm not sure exactly, you know, exactly where, but he wrote about Jesus. He wrote about Pilate and crucifying Jesus. So this is, I mean, that doesn't necessarily, you know, it doesn't take that for believing for me, because the Lord spoke to my heart. But if somebody asked me, well, Jesus could be just a character in a Bible that somebody wrote. Well, we have documentation other than the Bible about Jesus in this crucifixion story. Now, the word, I mean, like, you know, God is so prevalent, or Jesus is so prevalent, you know, in different spots, that I would think it would be hard. And this Bible is a bunch of books that are, you know, I think it's 66 books put together, wrote by different men, you know, all these things, you know, it all points to Jesus. But even a historian over here has wrote about Jesus and how he was crucified, how that there was a separation between the Jewish people and the Christian people, that, you know, and they were Jewish too, but they, you know, started calling themselves Christians. And that's documented in Acts when they started, the first Christian was, they said, we're going to call ourselves Christians. And so there's documentation of other people talking about Jesus other than the Bible. I think that's pretty good information. You know, if somebody asked me, you know, hey, it's in history. Somebody's wrote it down. Somebody has documented it. This is just not, it just brings it all together. It doesn't take me to, you know, believe that. If there was no history of it other than the Bible, when the Lord spoke to me, I would still believe it. But how much better it is that, you know, we have a history of Jesus Christ other than the Bible. I think that's pretty neat. So, does anybody else have anything? I'll try to give plenty of opportunity. So, and I'd like for some people, if you got a thought or something, you can share it. Be happy to. Okay. So salvation is appeared to all men. I believe that everybody gets a chance for salvation. I don't think anybody's going to end up in a place called hell and say, how did I get here? They may question, they may have some questions, and they may not have recognized 100% what the Lord was trying to tell them. It just depends, if you do the calculations, 3 score and 10, that's a score is 20, just in case somebody doesn't know what a score is. 3 score and 20, 60 years plus 10 is 70 years. 70 years, you times 70 times 365, you'll get 25,550. And so there's 25,550 days typically. Now, we know anybody could die at any time. But if the Lord has that many days, if the average person lives 70 years, they have that many days, the Lord speaks to one person one time, that's all he has to do. They know. Whether they put it off or whether they don't, that's up to them. You know, it's sad. I feel like I don't want anybody to perish. I want all to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, my worst enemy, I wouldn't want him to go to a place called hell. It's for eternity. It's not for a couple days. It's not for a couple years. Your life, your being, will be in hell forevermore. Forevermore. That's what scared me the most. When the Lord showed me I was lost, he showed me that I'm going to be in hell forevermore if I don't accept him. I think that was the key point for me. I wasn't worried about going to heaven. I didn't really think too much about heaven. I was concerned about that place called hell. And so that's what got me saved. And the Bible talks about being pulled out of the fire. So I don't care necessarily what gets you there. Some people said it was love, the love of the church that got. That's good too. Whatever gets you to believe is good. However you get it. I often talk about the guy that was hanging on the cross, his last day. What a good religion we have. We have a wonderful religion, because not too many religions is going to tell you that a thief on the cross on his last day is going to go to heaven. That's going to be, I think most people would be say he didn't live good enough. He was a thief. But Jesus said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Well, that's a good religion. At your last hour, this guy is down to the wire. This guy doesn't have much time left. He is about ready to die. And I believe he got saved on the cross. Wasn't a help to his family. Could have had a better life, but he got salvation. And maybe his families were there, maybe or not. Who knows? We could speculate all day, but he got what he needed. He didn't help anybody, but maybe himself. Maybe. Maybe the ones that saw him. But we can have a much better impact on our people if we accept Jesus early and not when we're just in trouble at the last moment. But we have a gracious God, and we get the same thing. I don't know if you get too many religions that say, I got saved when I was 5, and I didn't, but somebody says, I got saved when I was 5, I got saved on my deathbed. You get the same thing. Everybody, there's even a parable in the Bible. Everybody gets a penny. Some of them worked 12 hours. Some of them worked maybe the last hour. Everybody got the same thing. Everybody will get the same thing. There's nobody going to be greater. God will be all in all. And and we're going to worship God and what he's done. And so that's the wonderful thing about, and it sounds good to me. I wouldn't even want anything. I'm just thankful. I have probably a different opinion about what heaven's going to be like than most people. If I had I don't think we're necessarily going to have a mansion up there. That's what the Bible says, many mansions, but we get that. I'm not going to go into details there, but we're going to be worshiping God. There's no day, there's no night. and it's going to be awesome. I don't think we're going to be playing golf up there. I don't think we're going to be doing those things. Your mom and dad, we may know them as possibly as our parents, but there's no female or no male. And so I don't know, but, you know, it's not necessary. God has a plan. God has a plan, and his plan is a good plan. And so, you know, and we don't have to understand everything. And, you know, but I'm glad that everybody in heaven is going to be my brother, you know, or sister, if you want to say it like that, however it is. But we're going to be, you know, we're going to get a glorified body, whatever that means, you know, to the full effect. I don't know if anybody knows 100%, but I'm glad that, you know, we're glad that we're going. So, so anyway, okay, so, so salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. So I think that's pretty straightforward. You know, us as Christians, we really need to be, you know, when we say that you can get saved and live however you want to and still go to heaven, that is true, but that is not what we believe that you should do, you know. We just believe that God's salvation is such a great and powerful gift that, you know, it doesn't really affect what you do out in the world as far as your salvation, because God saves your soul. We're still inside. He saves our soul. He doesn't save our flesh. We are in control of what we do, you know. And so how we live our lives, that is up to us. Now, that being said, we have so many rules that we need to try to stay by. I mean, you know, all these are good rules. I think one point it said, come down, you know, love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. We'll take care of everything. And so if you can do that, and so we try to love everybody and put God first, and all these other things should be fairly easy. And so, ungodliness and worldly lust, we need to stay away from. It's going to affect our relationship with God. Okay, so let's say we, you know, do things that are ungodly. Now, you know, it puts barriers between us and God when we do those things. You know, you find somebody that comes to church, and I'm trying to pick something so nobody, you know, but, you know, and they have some things that are in their lives, you know, they'll say, well, I can't get back in church because of this. I can't get back in church because of that, you know, or I have to change my life too much. Those are the things that we got to try to make sure we don't get in our lives so we don't have to worry about those barriers and ungodly things that's going to come between us and Christ, you know. And we need to be careful on, you know, if somebody comes back to church and has, you know, some kind of scenario in their life that, you know, we got to be patient with them to try to make sure that we don't run them off because we said, now you got to change this. Now you got to change that. God will tell them what they need to change. You know, the God that called them up here and said, you need to get back in relationship with us. You need to get back in a relationship and have a good relationship. You know, I'll just try to make it simple. I don't think anybody believes that we should live together prior to marriage, just in general. And so, if somebody's living together, it would take a while to probably arrange your whole life. If you got back in church, you know, maybe they could sleep in different rooms, whatever you wanted to say. But it would take a while to, you know, that next, you know, so to say that you would need to change that the next day. Well, I mean, if you can, great. If you can, but give them a little bit to make a change in their life, because that takes a lot of money and a lot of things. And, you know, so, I mean, let the Lord do his work and let him show, you know, because I've seen people come get their life, try to get their life straight. People would be on them and all of a sudden they're back out of church and, you know, it didn't really help. And so we got to be careful, you know, when we put those stipulations on people and understand that let God do his thing. I'm not a judge. God put it, me in the world to love, have love for people. And, you know, if somebody asks me my question or asks me, you know, what do you think about this? I'm going to tell you, you know, that's going to be bad for you. Drinking is not going to be good for you. It's going to, you know, be a bad thing that you can add to your life that, you know, it's like playing with fire. Even if you believe that you can drink wine, because there's some reference in the Bible, and I can't, you know, even if you believe that wine was okay to drink, it's playing with fire. You're going to get yourself in trouble. Right here it says live soberly. What if you said, well, I, you know, only drink one drink every once in a while? Well, I mean, it's, you're playing with fire. You're playing with fire, because that one drink may turn into multiples in time. And so you're going to play with fire, and it's going to get you to where you're away from God. You can see in so many people's lives, Samson's a great example. You know, he was just like right on the outside edge, he would have great deliverance with the Lord, and then he would find himself back out trying to do things that he wanted to do that's ungodly and worldly lust that we all have to turn away from, you know, and say, we can't do that. I can't add that to my life, you know. I can't add that to my life because it's going to put a barrier in between me and God. So we all know what happened to Samson. I'm going to keep on going so I can get through here. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearance of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. We know, in Thessalonians, with the great shout, the Lord's coming back. The Lord is coming back. Get ready. That's why it's so important. Why do we tell people, you need to get saved as soon as you can, as soon as the Lord knocks your heart? Two things. We don't know when the Lord's coming back, and we don't know when we're going to die. You know, that 70 is just an average what people live. You can live longer, you can live shorter. But, you know, we know that in any time, there's nothing that needs to be accomplished for the Lord to come back. You know, the Lord has a deadline or somewhere out there. Only God knows. And so only God knows. We don't know. Get in while you can. And so we need to, you know, that's why we tell people that so many times. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. And so, you know, God did not redeem us, or Jesus did not redeem us to go out and live however we want to live. He delivered us, and really, I mean, you know, it may not sound right, but it is right. I mean, you know, people may not like the way this sounds, but we all need to be clones of Jesus Christ. I mean, as close as we can. I mean, we need to try to be like Jesus as much as we can. Now, we're not going to get there, but we need to have the mind of Christ in us, each and every one of us. And so when somebody makes you mad, we try to put love in there. Now, sometimes I fail. I mean, you know, if somebody rides me all the way to church at house and they're beeping and they're honking, they're trying to get around me, that's not going to put me in a good mood. It's just the way it is. So we have these things to contend with. And so we have to say, Lord, help me, because, you know, these things will drive you crazy sometimes. Okay. He gave himself for us that might redeem us from all iniquity. So we can be redeemed from all iniquity and purify ourselves to be the peculiar people. So the peculiar people, sometimes we do things that, you know, are kind of strange, somebody gives you back the wrong change and you say, hey, you gave me back too much, you know, or, you know, something like that, where most people just keep it, you know, and just, you know, something like that. Or, you know, we gather on a regular basis and claim that Jesus is our king, you know, our spiritual king. So all these things make us peculiar people, zealous of good works. We should all be striving for good works. If you're not sure what, we should be trying to help who we can help. We need to be praying for we pray. All these things, and try to attend church as much as the Lord allows, and we can do it. And so all these things, these are all good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. So it definitely helps if you understand the Bible, know what's in there. I recommend reading and studying, and the more you know, the more you can tell people about it, you know, and more you learn, And so we should try to learn at least some kind of information every week on the Bible that helps us to understand a little bit better, if we can, you know. It would help us all if we did it. I'll just put it that way. Let no man despise thee. So we're not going to be able to help somebody that doesn't like us. If you go around and knock other religions all the time and, you know, say that's no good, and, you know, that whether it is or isn't, you know, as far as, you know, we're not going to help people if we start putting them down and they hate us. So if we go, we approach people with love and say, you know, the Lord, you know, put love in my heart, you know, and I'm not a judge, but, you know, hey, you know, the Lord saved my soul. He came into my life. I'm not trying to go to heaven on works anymore or anything like that. I'm going to heaven because the Lord saved my soul. Strictly that's it, because of Jesus. And now that, you know, I could tell somebody that didn't believe that, and I don't think that's too offensive, you know, but you just bring it to the personal, you know, say, you can believe whatever you want to believe. Lord saved my soul. I'm going to heaven because of Jesus, you know. And so the less we try to be confrontational and people dislike us, the better. I mean, the more we're going to be able to help people. And so being friendly, you'll have more friends. So that's the lesson for today. Appreciate everybody's prayers and help. So.